There's no place that I would rather be than in His presence. Mercy. Doesn't it feel good in the house of the Lord here this morning, Landmark? Isn't there an incredible touch of God? Isn't it amazing to know that we can be understaffed and God can come in this place and it feels as though we're overstaffed? God can come into this house and all of a sudden just what just happened can happen at any given moment. That's what's happening today. We're a little bit understaffed if you haven't noticed, but there's pastors out preaching and then Brother Yance is sick in his body, and as well as a few other individuals that are sick in their body. I want to say thank you, Brother Ben, for being Brother Faithful. But we are still in His presence. We're still in God's house. And it still feels good in His presence. Amen? Are you excited to hear the Word of God? Are you ready to hear the Word of God? I said, are you ready to hear the Word of God? Hallelujah. Well, I promise I won't be too long-winded at all. I believe God has already done an incredible work here in this place. And so you've been standing for quite some time. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and pick them up. Go ahead and get your iPads, your iPhones, Bible, whatever you got, memory. And we're going to turn to Luke chapter 5. We're going to be reading verses 4 through 7. Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 7. Turn, look at your neighbor. I know I say this every time, but I want it to stick. Turn, look at your neighbor. If they don't have a Bible in their hands, say, what's wrong with you? We're in God's house. Where's God's Word? They say, well, it's on the screen. Well, hope it's on the screen at home, too. I'm not going to go over there. That's another preaching point. Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 7. The Word of God says this. Now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, now hear this, this is a tired, weary man. Been fishing all day, evidently no luck, extremely exhausted, already gave in to defeat, and was ready to go home with nothing. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. He said, at thy word. Almost as saying, what you've already said, I'm not going to say that counts. If you say it again, I'll do it. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Only time you can say fishes is in the Bible. And their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Two ships, completely full of fish, to the point of sinking. I want to preach a message just for just the next few minutes, simply entitled this, Breaking Point. Breaking Point. At one time or another, we have all reached this point. There's a point in life that you're going to reach where you will either break and shatter internally or externally. We've all been there. The word of bad news because of sickness, possibly a death in the family, issues on the job, problems with the marriage, family, whatever the case may be, there comes a time in life for each and every single one of us that we will reach a point to where we can officially say, this is my breaking point. I don't know where I can go. I don't know what I can do. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to act. I'm lost for words right now. I'm at my breaking point. I want to talk about that breaking point here for the next few minutes. Why don't you bow your heads and let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to bless. Mighty God, Lord, once again, dear Jesus, we just want to say how grateful we are, dear Lord, to be in Your presence. God, out of all the places that we could be, out of all the things that we could be involved in, dear Jesus, You have allowed us, oh God, the opportunity to come into Your house once again, to come into Your presence, oh God, and give You the glory and the honor that You are truly worthy of, dear Jesus. But not only give You the glory and the honor that You're worthy of, dear God, but You have granted us the opportunity, dear Lord, to walk away from this house here in the next few minutes, changed in our lives, changed in our hearts, changed in our minds, dear God, for the better, dear Jesus, of Your purpose. God, and for that, we are truly grateful. We give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Clap your hands as you're seated. There's a breaking point that requires a new realigning or ideas. How you handle the breaking point determines if you survive or not. Let me tell you, church, if you don't master the breaking point, you will have many ventures but never achieve massive spiritual success. We find ourselves in breaking points in our life to the point where we don't know what to do. I've already said it. We don't know where to go. We don't know how to act. And so a lot of times what we tend to do is we try to run from our breaking point when we don't even recognize that our breaking point is us. So wherever I go, the breaking point follows. Wherever I go, the issue follows. Wherever I go, the mindset follows. Wherever I go, the sickness follows. And so how do we handle the breaking point? We handle the breaking point much like Simon did. When Jesus told him, take out your boat once again. I know you've toiled all night. I know that you're weary. I know that you're tired. But I want you to take your boat out one more time for a draught. And I want you to see what can happen in the midst of your turmoil and tiredness. Take out your boat one more time and cast the net. And the Bible says that Simon went, he cast the net, and as he began to pull his net in, he recognized something. Not like times past where he had caught just a few, not like times past where he had been completely unsuccessful. This time something new had happened. He had caught something that he was not prepared to catch. The Bible says that as he began to pull in his nets, that the nets began to break. They began to break so much so that he began to call out for his friends. He began to call out for those that worked with him. He began to call out for his partners. Now, something interesting in the Word of God that I recognized there was the fact that he had the ability to call out for his partners and for his friends. If Simon would have looked at Jesus and said, you know what? They're tired. We've been doing this all night. Guys, you go ahead and go on home. I'm just going to go ahead and humor them for a little while, and I'm going to show them that we can't catch anything because the season's not right. The time's not right. The atmosphere's not correct. The song wasn't right on key. The drums weren't where they're supposed to be. The notes weren't correct. The message wasn't directly directed to me. But I'm going to humor him for just one more time, and I'm going to go out and show him something. No, Simon evidently told his friends and his cohorts, his co-workers, come along. As soon as Jesus said, go out, cast that net. Evidently, if you read between the lines, we see it. The Bible says that he began to beckon to the other ship that was next to him to come and help. So that tells me that he told them, you know what? We're not finished. We're not done. We're going to try it one more time. Why are we going to try it again, Simon? Because Jesus has said there's an opportunity that's waiting out there. And if he says there's an opportunity, I'm going to go. Even though it might not have worked before, this time it's going to work because he said it will work. And as he went, he began to pull in the nets began to break. I imagine that as he was tugging on that net and as the holes began to form in that net and he saw that he was losing fish, then all of a sudden he recognized, hey, I can call on my friends. And he beckoned for the other ship that was just right over there. And he said, guys, come help. Come help. I need your assistance. I need your help over here. And they began to come over and they began to help lift the nets in. And as they got the nets in, the Bible says that there were so many fish that the boats began to sink. You see, you need to recognize something, saint of God. You need to recognize something, church, that when you find yourself in the middle of your miracle, you're not going to be able to many times handle it yourself. That's the importance of the church, and that's the importance of those that are sitting next to you. You've got to have friends to help you to be able to pull in the miracle that God wants to give you. You say, God, it would be more than enough if you would just heal my body. God, it would be more than enough if you would just give me a raise on my job. But God has intentions of giving you something that you and your boat can't even handle by itself. You've got to have something a little bit bigger to be able to handle what God wants to do for you. When I talk about a church of 1,000, that's something that this building cannot even contain. So why am I able to talk about it? Because we have friends and we have family that are able to say they can come to our side. They can come to our beck and call, and we will build that building that God has intended for us to have. Let me tell you something, church. If you don't master the breaking point, you will have many ventures, as I've already said, but never achieve massive spiritual success. Our breaking point is our making point. How you respond to your breaking point. How you respond to the times that the enemy has knocked you down. And how you respond to the response that many times the Lord will give you in the midst of your prayer. I love the song where it says, He may not come when you want Him, but He will be there right on time. In the midst of the time of not when you want it, but then all of a sudden when it gets there, what's your response going to be? In that waiting period, what is your response going to be? When the doctors say that you've got this going on and you come into the house of God and you begin to pray and you begin to worship, how is your response going to be when all of a sudden shouting begins to take place and all of a sudden worship begins to happen? What's your response going to be? What's your response going to be next Sunday if you find out this week that you don't get that raise on the job that you were anticipating? Young person, what's that response going to be when that girl or that guy doesn't text you back today when you try to text them? What's your response going to be in the house of God when you feel as though everything is falling apart? Are you going to be able to adhere to one more try? Are you going to be able to adhere to one more chance? Are you going to hear the voice of God saying, go out one more time? I know it might not have been good. I know it might not have been great. And I know you might not have achieved what you wanted to achieve. But this time, you will get what you want. Naaman was a leper. Naaman was ate up with leprosy to the point to where he was losing fingers, his ears probably falling off of his head. And all of a sudden he heard from the man of God, rather the servant of the man of God. And that servant told him, go and wash in the river. He went to the river and he told him to dunk seven times, to wash seven times. If he would have stopped at that sixth time, do you believe his miracle would have happened? Seventh time he came up out of that water and he recognized something. He saw something incredible. He saw what used to be all of a sudden becoming what is now. All of a sudden, I'm trying to tell someone here in this house today that maybe you've been fighting a fight and it has taken quite some time. Maybe you've been battling for a long time. But I'm telling you today, don't stop fighting because God is in the midst of the fight and your miracle is about to happen. Can I talk to a mom or to a dad and try to tell you today, don't you stop praying because your children are going to come home. Can I talk to the family of backslidden saints of God and say, don't stop shouting because there will come a day when you will be shouting with that backslidden saint of God. Don't stop rejoicing because the time will come when your sickness will be no more. Don't stop worshiping because the time will come when you will leap for joy and your feet will land on streets of gold. Today is not the day to give up and to give out. Today is not the day to shut down in the middle of your breaking point, but recognize I've got another opportunity. You've got an opportunity. You've got a chance. When you woke up this morning, the Lord told you, whether you heard it or not, you're here for a reason. The Lord mentioned to you, the Lord told you, He said, go out one more time and cast your net. Why would I do that, oh God? Because you're about to receive something that you've never received before. You're about to see something that you've never seen before. And you need to be around others to be able to pull in your miracle. I'm talking about a God that wants to give you something that you yourself cannot even contain. I wish someone would understand exactly what I'm saying. The greatest miracle that your mind could possibly comprehend in this house this morning, my God has an even greater miracle. If you don't master the breaking point, every time life brings you to it, you will give up and quit. You will back away and run. You will say this is too emotional and give up. You cannot be a champion until you survive the breaking point. I'm talking to people here in this house this morning that have mighty and terrific testimonies. They can talk about how God took them through this and how God brought them through this. And they can talk about how the miracles that they've seen happen. They can talk about how when they reached their lowest life point and they kept the faith and they kept praying, they kept fasting, they kept believing, and then all of a sudden God brought them out of it. I can talk about how Pastor went through cancer and how it affected our family. I can talk about how I have family that are going through terrific and horrible situations in life right now, but yet they're holding strong to the promise that God has given. I'm telling you one thing and one thing only here in this house, that if you hold on through the midst of your breaking point, you will pull something inside the boat that you never thought that you could ever receive. Landmark, there is a miracle out there. There in the midst of waiting, there is a miracle out there that is on the line and it's just waiting for you to cast the net one more time.
The devil would have you stop at 6, Naaman. The devil would have you stop at 5, Naaman. But no, why? Because the man of God said 7 times. And if I can just get to the 7th point, it might not look good. I'm a king and I'm coming out of the mud. Yes, you are, Naaman. But that 7th time, you're going to look more like a king than you have looked in a long time. You're going to be able to walk. You're going to be able to run. You're going to be able to shout. You're going to be able to rejoice. So stop worrying about how it looks now and go ahead and go through the breaking point and understand when you get to the other side that you're going to be a champion.
One of the amazing things I noticed about Simon was that when he went fishing, the others went as well. You see, when you get to your breaking point, the enemy wants you to isolate yourself so he can annihilate you. Isolate and then annihilate. Because by yourself, you cannot produce. Hear me, Landmark, right now. Every time you isolate yourself, you terminate your dreams. Through cross-pollination, fruit is formed. Through relationships, children are born. To be fruitful, you must be relational. Not only does the church need you, but you need the church. It was at the breaking point of the net that Simon was glad his partners were there. He began to recognize the tremendous struggle he was in when God was in the process of performing a miracle. That'll preach. He recognized the tremendous struggle that he immediately faced when God was performing his greatest miracle for him. You say, well, I don't know if God's in it. I don't know if God's working in it. I don't know if God's working through it. I don't know if God's carrying me through it. I'm in more of a struggle now than ever before. God's working you through it. God's carrying you through it. God's helping you through it. Because a lot of times it's in the midst of your struggle that you see the greatest miracle. Simon could have been blessed with 1 or 2 fish and he could have pulled that in. He'd caught nothing. So anything would have been something. But our God's not a God of just something. I'm going to say that again. I said, our God's not a God of just something. He's not a band-aid God. He's not a God that's just going to come by and say, oh, you know what? You need something to get you by for another hour. Here it is. This will carry you through till you're able to walk out of the church. This is an extra $5 so you can get you something from Burger King afterwards. Our God is not a God of band-aids. Our God is the type of God that when you pray for your miracle to happen, a lot of times when you put your hands on it, you yourself aren't going to even be able to contain it. He said he'll put on you more than you can even contain. So in the middle of your circumstance, you know what you need to do? You just need to go ahead and rejoice. You just need to go ahead and shout. You just need to go ahead and magnify the name. You need to go ahead and lift up the name that's above every other name. You need to clap your hands when you're in the middle of fear. You need to rejoice when you're in the middle of doubt. You need to shout and run the aisles when you're stricken with cancer. You need... Come on, somebody, hear me right now. Because a lot of times, it's in the middle of your struggle that God is attempting to allow you to pull something out of the water. You see, the water symbolized something. The water symbolized something great. The water was the barrier. The water was the thing that he couldn't see through. So when he cast the net and he began to pull, how many fishermen do we have here? Raise your hand. How many people like to fish? Maybe you're not a good fisherman. Maybe you like to fish just a little bit. Yeah. I'm not saying, you know, every time you go out, you catch fish every single time. But how many people here have ever cast the rod, cast the bait, and all of a sudden, got that hit, that pole doubled over, you pull back, you thought, here we go, and you're pulling back. Did you know how big that fish was when you hooked them immediately? To you, it was a monster. Let me tell you a quick story real quick, and then we'll move right along. I was fishing with my dad. He got a boat several years back, and he wanted to go break it in. And he said, let's go fishing. So we went fishing, and we were on high rock, and we was close to these piers or whatever they're called. And we were casting the lure around those piers trying to get a bass on the line. And Dad had his new trolling motor, and so he's standing at the front of the boat, and he's trolling around, and we just looking like we know what we're doing. And haven't caught a thing yet, and we're just going after it. And Dad's on the front of the boat, he's casting, and then all of a sudden, I look up, and that pole doubles over, and I hear a line. Now, how many here fishermen know what that sound means? That means you got them, and it's more than your fishing pole can contain. So he began to crank down on that drag and try to get that line to where it was a little bit tighter, to where he'd be able to reel that fish in, and he fought, and he fought, and he said, Carson, here it is. This is the one. I've fished my whole life, and here it is. I finally caught one in the lake. I didn't think it could be done, but here it is. And he fought, and all of a sudden, line broke. And it was probably the saddest I've ever seen my dad before. He turned, he looked at me and said, "I'm done. Let's go home. I'm done. I need to find me a good pond." I knew I need to fish ponds. They're contained. You know they're in there. They're not going anywhere. So we began to head back to the pier. And as we got there, and I brought the truck back with the trailer, and Dad's still on the boat doing the coop group. That's where he gets it from. And I backed the trailer into the water, and Dad began to pull the boat up onto the boat trailer. And we pulled the boat out of the water, and Dad gets out of the boat, and he's standing at the front of the boat, and I can see him rubbing his forehead. And all I can see is his back, but I can't see what he's focused on. And I decided to walk over. He said, "Let's go ahead and go." I said, "What are you looking at, Dad?" "Nothing. Don't worry about it. Let's go." And I said, "What you looking at, Dad?" And I walked over to the front of the boat and looked, and the trolling motor was down. And there was probably about 60 yards of string wrapped around the trolling motor. That fish that Dad had caught was the trolling motor. Don't dare. Don't you dare. Told him I told you that. My point is this. That water represented something. That water represented a barrier. You couldn't see what was below that barrier. You just knew that you were connected to something. You just knew that you had been wanting something so bad, and then all of a sudden, I'm connected to it. I don't know what it is, but it's there. And I've got a line attached to it. You see, when we come into the house of God and we begin to call out to His name, when we begin to, in the middle of our problems, in the middle of our circumstances, we begin to say, "God, I don't even know exactly what to pray. I don't know exactly how to say this. I don't know exactly what to do. But God, I just give myself away. God, I just, You can use me. God, all my hopes, all my plans, all my dreams. I just need You, God. Nothing else matters." Then all of a sudden, God does something. He takes that line and He attaches it to something that you can't even see. And all we have and all we can do as saints of God is just simply begin to pull and begin to pull and begin to tug and say, "God, I haven't seen it yet, but I know it's there." How do you know it's there? Because every time I'm in His presence, there's this pull. There's this struggle. There's this tug on my heart. There's this tug on my mind. Oh, God, I know I'm attached to something, but I don't know what it is, but I know it's greater than me, and I know I've never seen it before. And God begins to all of a sudden allow you to pull those things in. But you see, the thing that you're connected to, a lot of times you won't even be able to pull it in by yourself. That's the importance of the church. When we get into the house of God, we join hand to hand with people, and we say, "Oh, you know what? You're going through a struggle in your life. You got cancer. Oh, you've got a sickness. Oh, your family's backslidden. Oh, they're struggling. They're not here, and you're praying for them. Let me help you. Let me help you pull in that dream. Let me help you pull in that relationship. Let me help you pull in that hope. Let me help you pull in." I wish somebody would hear me right now, because I'm talking about the power of the church. I'm talking about the potential of the church. You see, when you recognize why it is so important that we come together in one mind and one accord for the suddenly is when you recognize what you were pulling on. The suddenly is when you recognize what you have been fighting for. The suddenly is when you recognize the thing that you never thought you could achieve before, but then all of a sudden, it just comes out of nowhere and you've got it. The suddenly is when a mom or a dad is sitting in the church and they're holding hands and they're saying, "God, you know what? We've been here for years and years, and I'm praying for my children, and I just wish that they'd come here." And all of a sudden, the suddenly is when you hear the door at the back of the church crack open and then slam shut, and you look to your side, and all of a sudden, those children are walking down to the altar of repentance. The suddenly is when you go to the doctor and the doctor say, I understand that you have hope. I understand that you have faith. And I understand that you pray. But this is what the chart says. We'll read it again if you want to. We'll do another exam. We'll do another study." The suddenly is when you stand before the doctors and the doctors say, "Maybe we got them confused." No, you didn't get anything confused. I've been pulling on this. I've been struggling with this. I've been fighting for this. I've been praying for this. And I knew I was connected to it. How did you know you were connected to it? Because I'm full of the Holy Ghost. And when I go to the house of God, I call upon the name that's above every other name. You need to recognize something. If you're not in a struggle, you're not connected. It's time to get connected to something that's bigger than who you are. It's time to get connected to something that's greater than who you are. It's time to get connected to something that's stronger than you are. When you're connected to something, you can't walk away from it. When you're connected to something, you can't leave it. When you're connected to something, you're afraid to lay things down because it could be taken away. I ain't laying down a fishing pole after I've got a fish hooked to it. Why? Because it'll drag it in the water and it'll disappear. When you're connected to something with everything that's within you, with every fiber of your being, you don't leave until it's achieved. You don't walk away until you have it in your hands. Is everybody understanding what I'm saying right now? I'm talking about a breaking point. But see, on the other hand, just like the walls of Jericho, they walked around those walls. They walked around those walls day after day after day. People laughing at them. People standing on top of the walls. The Bible says that the walls were so wide at the top that they would have chariot races. This was a wall, buddy. And they walked around these walls knowing that, hey, I'm attached to something. God said it. God said it. God said it. They're laughing. It doesn't matter. God said it. God said it. And then all of a sudden, that last day, all of a sudden, they begin to shout. And when they begin to shout, yeah, that's right. They shouted before the walls came down. You hear that? They shouted before the walls came down. Maybe a lot of us here today, the walls in our life are simply waiting on the shout before the fall. That's another message entirely. But they shouted on that last day, and then all of a sudden those walls began to crack. All of a sudden brick began to fall. Stone began to fall. All of a sudden lines began to form. Foundations began to crumble. The walls fell inward so that they wouldn't kill those on the outside. Let me tell you something here today. Your breaking point can also become your best point. Your breaking point can become your greatest point. You say, well, God, I'm all fine and dandy with serving you. I'm all fine and dandy with living for you. I'm all fine and dandy with walking with you, with praying, with fasting, believing. But God, don't ever let there be any struggles that come my way. Don't ever let there be any hardships that come my way. Don't ever let there be any hard times that come my way. Why? 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 Because when God is trying to carry you to something or take you to another level, He's got to take you through something and take you to another level. So if you're ever going to get anywhere different, you got to go somewhere different. Can't believe you didn't write that down. I preached a long time ago, steps take you places. You want to get somewhere greater? You want to get somewhere better? Guess what? Sometimes you got to take a step in the right direction. Sometimes you got to take a step into a different area. Sometimes you got to pray a different way. Sometimes you got to fast a little bit longer. Sometimes you got to rejoice. Sometimes you got to shout even when you haven't done it in a while. I mentioned just a few minutes ago as that song was playing, I said, listen, I just challenge anyone. I just challenge everyone. Just go ahead and worship God. Just go ahead and express yourself. Just go ahead and magnify His name. Just go ahead and just don't worry about those that are around you. Don't worry about what anybody might think, and just go ahead and let loose and let God go, and you watch what happens. You watch as God begins to connect you to something. The whole service from this morning, from the time the very first note was struck, I felt as though God was just connecting people. I saw people come down to the altar and I saw them begin to pray. I saw tears begin to flow down their eyes, and it was almost as though I could see in a spiritual realm. I could see as though the Lord was taking a line and just connecting it to their miracle. He's saying, one more time. Give it one more shot. Come on, give it one more shot. I know it's a struggle. I know it's a fight, but you struggle big things. Blessings are big things. Miracles, signs, and wonders are big things. So your struggle is just a precursor to your blessing. I wonder here today, with a show of hands, how many people in this house here today, you've said, God, I've just been going through this for quite some time. I've been battling this for quite some time. I don't know what it's about, God, but I'm still fighting the good fight of faith. I wonder, can you raise your hand right now? I want everybody to see that they're not alone. I knew it. God, I've been praying this. God, I've been believing. God, I've been fasting. God, I've been trusting. God, I've been praying. God, I've been leaning upon you. God, I've been faithful. God, and the whole time, I don't know why. I don't know where it's taking me. I don't know where I'm going. Let me tell you something, Simon. You go ahead and go out there, buddy. You cast that net one more time, and you're getting ready to be in the fight of your life. But when you get it in, your family's not going to be hungry. Can I talk about that for a minute? Your family's not going to be hungry. I'm not talking about physical food. I'm talking about spiritual hunger. Your family's not going to be thirsty. Your family's not going to starve. Your family's not going to be in need. Your family's not going to be in want. Why? Because you fought. I'm talking to a dad and to a mom now. Is it worth fighting? Yes, worth fighting. Why is it worth fighting? Because you've got kids at home that are starving. You got kids at home that are hungry for so much more. We got kids that are sitting right here. Yeah, I'm going to call you kids because I'm 31. I could do that. We got kids and young people that are sitting here right now and they're hungry for something so much more. They feel the touch of God. They're full of the Holy Ghost. They've been baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. But there are such big plans. God's got ministry here. God's got Sunday school teachers here. God's got home Bible study teachers here. God's got foreign missionaries here. God, do I need to go on for you to understand what I'm saying? There's something big that's in this house. There's several things that are big in this house, and it's simply waiting on one person. It's simply waiting on maybe two, maybe three, maybe four, maybe every one of us. God's waiting on you to simply say, you know what? I'm in this fight, and I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith doesn't allow you to come to a Sunday morning service and not come to a Sunday night. You're not connected. You're not connected. If you can lay the pole down in the middle of your fishing, you're not connected to anything. Can I get real right now? The good fight of faith doesn't allow you to come to one service and then skip out on a Tuesday. You're not connected. The good fight of faith doesn't allow you to say, you know what, I don't feel like Saturday night prayer and not come to Saturday night prayer. You're not connected. But when you can connect yourself to something, you begin to reel in that miracle. You begin to reel in that promise, and you don't let go until it's done. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to make this as simple as I can, but I feel as though I'm walking in the Holy Ghost right now for somebody. You need to understand. You need to get connected to the promise. You need to get connected to the miracle. You need to get connected to something that's bigger than who you are. You need to get connected to your miracle. You need to get connected to your promise. You need to get connected. Simon could have said, no, I'll just wait till tomorrow. Fishing starts again tomorrow. Fishing starts again next Tuesday. Fishing starts again next Sunday morning. But then he would have completely missed out on what happened. Never before had Simon ever caught such a massive amount of fish. You know how I know that? Because he wasn't prepared. You're prepared for what you've got in the past. You're prepared for what you've done before in the past. Why? Because you've been there before. His boat was specifically designed. Brother Bolton, his boat was specifically designed. It had everything. It had the right nets, buddy. It was probably some good stuff. Matter of fact, it had to be good stuff because he had to be somewhat of a wealthy man. He had other boats that were working with him. He had the gear. He had the stuff. But then all of a sudden, when he connected to a promise from God, he wasn't prepared. He wasn't prepared. The Word of God says, I'll never put on you more than you can handle, more than you can bear. A lot of times we look at that and we say, oh God, that's a great blessing. He's never going to put anything on me that's going to tear me up, that's going to make me worry, that's going to make me doubt. I looked at that scripture not too long ago and I began to think in a different type of concept. I began to think about this. He's never going to put anything on you than you can bear. All right? How many of you would be able to bear not being able to walk through that door because of the crowd of people that were standing up in the back because all the seats were taken? How many of you would be able to bear your children coming to your house as soon as you leave this place here this morning and all of a sudden walk into your kitchen and hit their knees and say, Mama, lay your hands on me and pray me back through the Holy Ghost. Daddy, lay your hands on me and pray me back through the Holy Ghost. How many of you would be able to bear that? How many of you would be able to handle that? Or would it shock you? Would it amaze you? I'm telling you right now, God is trying to connect you to something that you can handle. But the only way that you're going to be able to handle it is to connect yourself arm in arm with people in the church. Caleb, get up here, buddy. Drake, get up here, buddy. There's things that I've been praying for in my life. There's things that I've prayed for in the past. And God has blessed it. And I have found myself sometimes in situations to where I just couldn't quite handle to be able to pull in the promise that God was giving me. Couldn't quite handle what God was trying to do for me. And then all of a sudden I recognized something. That's why I got the church. Because when God gives me something, He gives us all something. Simon wasn't able to eat all that food by himself. Simon wasn't able to eat all them fish by himself. So you know what happened? When Simon received his miracle, all of a sudden Caleb received his miracle. Drake received a miracle. Drake had never seen so many fish before in his life. So what happened? He was able to take some home to his family. You see, if you want a miracle, sometimes you just need to connect yourself to the ones also that are praying for the miracle. When you walk away from the house of God and you walk out there in the world and you say, you know what, maybe I can get what I need out here. You're not connecting yourself to other people that are praying for the same prayers that you're praying. We are a family. We are a unit. We walk together. We pray together. We fast together. We last together. We live through this together. We survive through this together. Why? Because we are the church. We are the people of God. And without you, I'm nothing. You see, that's what the enemy understands. If he can isolate you, he can annihilate you. The devil does not care if you come to a church service and sit in a padded chair and enjoy a good song. He doesn't even care if you've heard this message here tonight. He doesn't care at all if you've heard this message here this morning, excuse me. What he does care about is if all of a sudden you begin to adhere to what you've heard. If all of a sudden, you see, because it doesn't count. It doesn't matter for you. The enemy doesn't care if you heard it this morning. If you already know, you're not going to be here tonight. Battle's won. Enemy won. Saint of God, zero. But the moment that you all of a sudden recognize that God, I'm hearing your word. I'm hearing what you're trying to tell me. I'm understanding it, oh God. I'm feeling what you're saying, oh God. It's moving on me, oh God. I see the importance of it, oh God. Then all of a sudden you begin to attach yourself. Now what happens? We got the enemy worried. We got the enemy full of fear. We got the enemy full of doubt. Why? Because a miracle's on the way now. You see, the altar is a lot like that area they fished. There are so many miracles that are here. Help me now. I sense someone being goofy in their mind saying, oh, there's a miracle underneath the wood. No, come on, somebody, get spiritual with me. There have been so many times that people have come here with needs in their life and they've stepped up to the front when Jesus said, go, cast one more time. Cast one more time. And they come to the front. I saw it just a few minutes ago. One young lady came up by herself and she just cast one more time and she got connected to something. Now that I'm connected, I can't walk away from it. Now that I'm connected, I can't leave it. Now that I'm connected, I can't stray from it. I'm asking someone to simply do this here this morning, to connect yourself to something greater than who you are. Connect yourself to the promise. Connect yourself to your hope. Connect yourself to your dream. If you got a dream, dream bigger, buddy, because God's got an even greater thing in store for you. You say, well, Brother Marshburn, I don't know how I could ever achieve anything. Look at what I've done. Look at where I've been. Look at what I've said. Look where I've been. Look how I've acted. Listen, let me tell you right now, there is no sin that's in this house here today that God can't remit right here at this altar. And right after he remits, guess what? He's going to connect you to something. You haven't been so far that God can't reach you. You haven't talked so dirty, buddy, that God can't cleanse that mouth with some tongue talking. You haven't been so dirty that God can't baptize you in his wonderful name. You haven't strayed so far that the church can't pull you back. Do I need to go on? Somebody needs to hear me right now. You just need to connect yourself to something. And when you get connected to it, don't let it go. Don't let it break. The breaking point for Simon, I'm almost done. The breaking point for Simon was the point his net began to break. Literally. The net break was Simon's break. He could have done two things. He could have said, well, I'm ill-equipped. I guess it's not my time. Let it break. Let the fish fall back in. And I'll go get a better net. And Jesus, can we try this again tomorrow? He could have done that. But instead, he decided to do something that preaches revelatory to the church today. Instead of giving up, he wrapped arms with people. He called upon his neighbors. He called upon his friends. He called upon his cohorts. That's who we are here today. That's who the person sitting beside you is today. They're the ones that are standing on guard saying, listen, if you need help pulling that net up, just give me a call. I'll help you. If you need help praying, I'll help you pray. If you need help fasting, I'll help you fast. Listen, I can't help but feel that there is someone here in this house today as the musicians coming back. I can't help but feel that there is someone here in this house today that you have been to your breaking point and you have been there for quite some time. Maybe you're standing on the edge of your boat and you're holding onto the net and you can see the seams just ripping. You can see the seams. And I'm not talking about material seams. I'm talking about what you thought seemed to be right. You can see it breaking. You can see it tearing. You can see the seams of what you hoped for and what you dreamed about and what you fasted for and what you believed God for. All of a sudden, you can see them just begin to tear. And you're holding on to that net because you see the promise. You know it's there. You feel the weight of it. You feel the burden. You feel the passion of it. You feel the desire. You feel the hunger to pull it in and get what you have been praying for so long. But sometimes it might just be a little bit too heavy. And you're looking at it and you're saying, I'm losing it. I'm letting go. I'm losing it. I can't hold on much longer. I can't hold on much longer. What I'm asking someone to do here in this house today as we all stand to our feet. I had just a little bit of notes that I got this morning when I was studying. And then all of this just snowballed. But I feel as though that we are right in the Holy Ghost right now. Because Landmark is on the fringes of seeing things we have never seen before. We're always there. We're always there. We've been there. When Mom and Dad came to Lexington, when I was 2 years old, and they walked in the doors on Thomason Street, and there were 12 people. As soon as they walked through the doors, all of a sudden God placed us on the fringes of the miracle. A year later, back on the fringes of the miracle. 5 years later, back on the fringes of a miracle. When we got into the rental property, Brother Bennett, where you at, sir? Brother Bennett, when we got to the rental property and we pulled that horse trough out back in the back, what did God do? All of a sudden, He just placed us on the fringes of a miracle. When we built 208 Landmark Place and Pastor stood on the outside of the door and he looked at it and he said, how are we going to pay for this? God placed us on the fringes of a miracle. When we built this sanctuary and we were all in panic, maybe you weren't, but leadership was, we were panicking, saying the same thing, except for Dad wasn't by himself this time. The whole leadership team was standing out there. Mom, Dad, all of us were standing out there. How are we going to pay for this? And all of a sudden, Sister Frugia tells us about a dream that she had. And she said, I saw a chain that was wrapped around the church. She said, and it was squeezing the church really, really tight. She said, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a shovel came out of the sky, struck the chain, and we realized something. The chain was made out of glass, and it just shattered. What was that? God put us on the fringes of a miracle. 2 years into this building, where are we at now? We're on the fringes of a miracle. Last Sunday, if it wasn't last Sunday, it was the Sunday before, I saw probably one of the greatest crowds I've ever seen before in Landmark's history. I stood there on the platform, I looked out and I said, oh my goodness, what is going on? Guests and visitors everywhere, people being filled with the Holy Ghost, baptizing people. I've taught a home Bible study in a patrol car. What is that about? Let me tell you, it's about a fringes of a miracle. We're on it. So what is Landmark doing? Landmark, we've got a hold of something. Brother Bolden, we got a hold of something, sir. Brother Bolden, come here real quick. Brother Bennett, come here real quick, sir. Jeff, come here for a minute, buddy. Hop up here with me. Hop up here with me. I got a hold of something. You got it? Brother Bennett, I can't do this by myself, sir. I got a hold of something. I got a hold of something. You ready? Let's see what God's going to give us. What's that about? What's that about? That's the same thing that God wants to do for you. That's the same thing that God wants to do for me. Go ahead. Lock hold of what God's given you and pull it in. Get your family here. Get your co-workers here. Get your mom here. Get your dad here. Get your children here. Get your cousins here. Get your uncles here. You need a miracle? You go ahead and pray about it and watch God do it. This is what I'm doing right now. And I feel it in the Holy Ghost. I'm opening these altars. But these altars are open for this. These altars are open for the individuals that are saying, you know what? I'm coming to help pull. I'm coming to help pull. We've locked hold of it, and I'm coming to help pull. We're going to pull it in. We've never seen this before, but that's okay. I'm bringing my boat. They'll bring their boat. We'll bring our boats, and we'll fill them all to the breaking point. And you know what? They'll be close to sinking, but they won't sink. You go ahead and pull in your miracle. You're not going to sink. You're not going to fail. You're not going to die. You're not going to be lost. You're not going to be hindered. You're not going to be hurt. You're not going to be a loser. You're not... My Holy Ghost.
Come on, somebody. With your voices lifted high right now. Go ahead.
This is how I fight my battles.
Come on, we do it together. We do it together. In one mind, in one accord. For the suddenly. Are you ready? Are you ready for that suddenly? Come on. Let them tears flow. Release your Holy Ghost right now. Come on. I'm charging somebody to apostolic faith. I'm charging somebody to Holy Ghost filled faith.
This is how I fight my battles.
I'm ready to see that revival. I'm ready to walk in that revival. I'm ready to witness that revival. Are you ready to see what God's going to do?
I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded.
Come on, I'm surrounded by you, oh God.
It may look like
I'm surrounded by you, oh God.
I'm surrounded by you.
Yes, Lord.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Come on, why don't you find somebody right now that's having some struggle, that's in the middle of the fight. Find somebody. Wrap your arms around them. Tell them, I'm here to fight with you. I'm here to fight with you.
This is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how I fight my
battles. Hang on a second. You keep praying. Audrey got it. P7 Club. First time that we met, it was close to, what was it, 30-something young people, I believe? 30-some young people that came into that classroom. Not an idea of what was about to happen, just understanding one thing, that they needed to know something about God. And Audrey was the one that was going to lead them that way. What are we going to do, young people? What are we going to do? Audrey's connected to something that's bigger than herself. She's connected to something that's greater than herself. So what are we going to do? As young people, we're going to gather together around the powder, and we're going to say, Audrey, we're going to help you with this. We're going to pull it in. We're going to pull it. Are you hearing me? Why? Because the net needs to come out of the water. Tori, not too long ago, just two Sundays ago, Tori had it. All Nations Sunday. That's the crowd I'm talking about, Tori. One of the biggest crowds I've ever seen at Landmark. What happened? Tori's connected to something. And it's bigger than her. It's bigger than her. Tori, come up here real quick. She's connected to something and it's bigger than her. It's so big that it goes global. But the interesting thing is that in the midst of it going global, it's also affect this county. We had people that were in this house that as soon as the service was over, they came up, they said, I have never seen anything like that before in my life. So what are we going to do? Ladies of God, we're not going to stand back and say, way to go, Tori. What are we going to do? We're going to gather around about. Somebody help me. Come on. We're going to gather around about. And as we do, we're going to say, Tori, we're going to help you pull this thing in. How are you going to help me? I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to fast for you. I'm going to believe God for you. I'm going to trust in God for you. We're going to pull this thing in together. What am I doing? What is happening? This is how I fight my battles. Come on, Simon. Come on, Simon. You got it, buddy. Keep pulling. Keep pulling. You're going to see the miracle of the Lord.
This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. is how I fight my battles. This 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 is how I fight my battles.
Hallelujah. Why don't you clap your hands once again? There's nothing more important than the church. Nothing more important. Nothing outweighs it. Nothing puts it on the side burner. Nothing lays it to the side. Nothing allows you to forget. Nothing more important than the church. Because it's together that we fight our battles. There are so many different areas. If I was to name every single one of them, we would be here till tonight's service. Just to name a few, Sister Marshburn is leading ladies. She's got a hold of something that's bigger than herself. You know what she needs? She needs some other ladies to come alongside and say, you know what, we're going to help you pull this dream in. We're going to help you pull this miracle in. Got Brother Bennett over here leading the men, having men's prayer. You know what he needs? He needs men that know how to fish. He needs men that can come alongside and say, you know what, Brother Ben, I'm going to help you pull in this dream. Why? Because it's bigger than you. I know that. But you're the one locked on to it. You're the one locked on to it. We've got Sunday school. We've got youth. We've got van ministry, bus ministry. We've got home Bible study. We've got music. We've got, and the list just goes on and on and on. We've got Brother Cook with the Axe Troopers. We've got the sound team. We've got Mercy. The list just goes on and on and on. And that's why Landmark, when I said it earlier, don't you dare be discouraged. Don't you dare be dismayed, because Landmark is in the greatest revival than we've ever been before in the history. We've got Brother Tony with singles, and we got Brother Tony that's also on Tuesday nights about 20-30 minutes before service starts. He's been meeting with men, and they've just been bonding. Why? Because Brother Tony's latched to something that's bigger than himself. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to show up, and we're going to help, and we're going to help pull that net in. We're in the greatest revival that we have ever been before in our life. Why? Because the Word of God says that go ye and he'll make you fishers of men. When you become fishers of men, you have lines in the water. Landmark has got lines in the water everywhere. You show me a church that ain't fishing, I'll show you a dead church. Landmark's fishing. Mercy. What a great time with God here this morning. Why don't you bow your heads and let me pray for you before we're dismissed. Mighty God, once again, we want to say thank you. We want to say thank you, dear Lord, for the great touch of your presence, the great touch of your mercy, oh God, that's in this place. God, I ask you, Jesus, to challenge us even further, dear Lord, as we leave this house today. God, that you would make us, oh Lord, into what you have called us to be, oh Lord, according to your excellent purpose, dear Jesus. And we give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.